Welcome to the Vision Church podcast. We pray that you're inspired by the teaching of the Word of God from Pastor Tyson Coughlin. If you've been blessed by the ministry of Vision Church and would like to support our ministry, you can do so by going to visionchurch.com and then selecting the Give tab. We want to thank you for checking in today. And now please prepare your heart for the Word of God.
If you have your Bible, turn with me this morning to Deuteronomy 31. Verse 8, and if we could get the lights up just a little bit, that would be wonderful. Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning in verse 8, I know without a question that you are not here by mistake today, and I'm on an assignment this morning. We definitely have a message from the Holy Spirit for you. Before I jump in, though, I want to take a second like we do every week, and that's to glorify the name of Jesus above everything else. This morning, we're not here to do church or to have a good time. We're here to lift up one name, and that's the name of Jesus Christ, the King. Without Him, we would be lost and hopeless, but in Him, we find life, and we have it more abundantly. There is nobody like Jesus. Look at your neighbor and tell him, there's nobody like Jesus, like you mean it. There's nobody like Jesus. And I know it's summer still, and, you know, people are traveling, and it's like, you know, we're a little out of it. But I just want to encourage you this morning to approach the Word of God today with an expectation. I want to encourage you that as we break the bread of life, I want you to come expectingly. And I want you to listen to this, expecting it to do a dynamic work in your life. If you just sit there and glaze over, and you're like, well, here we go again, another sermon, another day, you're going to get out of it what you're putting into it. And if you lean in and you open up your heart to receive and you expect His Word to transform your life, it will. Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning in verse 8, there's one verse I'm going to preach on this morning. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 31, 8. One more time, because this is the main text, this is the emphasis of everything this morning. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to Joshua through Moses. There, the Israelites are nearing the end of their nomadic adventure. They're now at the place where they can see the promised land. The Jordan River is now separating them from the promise. There is a great transition happening here. And the Holy Spirit, through Moses, says this to Joshua, do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you, and He will neither fail you or abandon you. This morning, the name of today's message is called One Step Ahead. Look at your neighbor and say, He's one step ahead. Tell him like you mean it. He is one step ahead of you. Now, this morning, we're going to just unpack this text, and I believe that it has the power to just revolutionize the way you're looking at your life right now. First of all, something that you need to understand about Deuteronomy is that as the Holy Spirit is speaking to Joshua, as he's speaking to the Israelites, he says something very powerful here. He says, I myself am going to go with you. In the past, I sent my angels with you. In the past, I sent my prophets with you. In the past, you had my presence. But now, Joshua, I'm going with you. Don't be afraid and don't be discouraged, because the land that I promised to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the land flowing with milk and honey, when you make your way across that threshold and you take that land, you can rest assured that I'm not sending my angels. I'm not sending an assistant. I'm myself going with you. God gives him a promise that I'm not going to send somebody else. I'm going with you into the promise. He's not sending angels this time, because he wants to be with them along the journey. He wants to see what they see. He wants to smell what they smell. He wants to be close enough to that moment that he doesn't miss anything in it. How many of you guys remember when your dad was teaching you to ride a bike for the first time? Anybody remember that? My dad, he wasn't going to let anybody else teach me how to ride that two-wheeler. He was going to be there for that. He wasn't going to miss it. He wasn't going to send one of his employees. He wasn't going to send his assistant. He was going to be there in person for that moment. That was a moment that was significant in my life, a moment where I was growing up a little bit, and he didn't didn't want to miss that moment. He savored it. He wanted to enjoy it. He wanted to revel in it and remember it. And that is the same heart that God is speaking with as he speaks to Joshua. He's saying, I'm going to be with you myself because I want to see this moment. I don't want to be robbed. I don't want my future to be robbed of this memory. I want to see the look on your eye. I want to see the smile in your face. I want to watch you react as I respond and move on your behalf. This morning, I can just imagine as we think about this text and as we expound on it, we preached a few weeks ago about the Israelites taking the promised land and about how they had to cross the Jordan River on the overflow as it was overflowing and flooding. Y'all remember that sermon? It was a miraculous event. The Lord himself stopped the flow of the Jordan River so that the Israelites could walk across onto dry ground and inhabit the land that was promised to their ancestors. I can imagine that the look on Joshua's face was kind of like the look on my face when I first was like a little kid pedaling that bike for the first time. I'm finally going on two wheels and I'm smiling and I'm looking at Dad. I'm riding towards him and I don't really know how I'm succeeding. I don't know how I'm doing it yet. I haven't figured it out yet. All I know is I'm doing it and I'm happy and I'm smiling and I'm loving it. And I guarantee you as Joshua is crossing over into the land that was promised, I guarantee you as he saw that water held back on the Jordan River, there was a smile on his face. He was elated. He was like, I don't know how we're doing this. I don't know what's going on here, but we're doing it. I don't know how we're making it, but we're making it with the Lord's help, and I'm going to keep my eyes on him, and we're going to inherit everything that was promised. And the Lord said, I'm going to be there for that moment. I'm going to see it. I'm going to watch you go across on dry ground. Sometimes all it takes in your life is knowing that your dad is behind you. Sometimes all it takes is knowing that your dad is with you. I remember as I was trying to pedal this bike, I didn't know what I was doing. I was intimidated. I was a little scared. And I remember when Dad took the training wheels off. Anybody remember being a little kid and the training wheels, you know, and they're off for the first time and you're looking at this bike. I wasn't 7 feet tall then, so the bike was like bigger and I was nervous. And I remember seeing the training wheels on the ground and thinking, Dad, what in the world is going on here? Are you sure? Like, I can't handle this. What are you doing taking these wheels off? What are you doing, Dad? But the fact that he believed in me, the fact that he was with me was all I needed and gave me the confidence that I needed to overcome and to conquer and to develop and mature in my life. This morning, I don't know what you're going through and I don't know what you're facing in your life right now, but I've come with a message from heaven to tell you that heaven is one step ahead of where you are. And God is with you right where you are. And his presence will provide the confidence that you need to endure the storm that you're facing right now in your life. His presence will provide the confidence that you need to be an overcomer and be victorious in the situation and the circumstances that you're facing in your life. After all, if he can believe in you, we should be able to believe in ourselves. You with that? He believes in you. He's with you this morning. He's watching your life. He's savoring every moment. He's with you today. I want to talk about this bike riding thing just for another second because it's important with where we're going. I remember when the training wheels came off of the bike and I saw them laying there in the grass, I remember getting a little frustrated with my dad, getting mad, being like, what do you mean? I like those. I was comfortable with those. I was safe with those. But the fact that he took them off the bike, it bothered me. It made me upset. It rattled me a little bit. And some of you might be going through a season in your life right now that's a little bit harder than it used to be. You might be facing something in your life that requires a little more faith than it did the last go around. You might be looking at an obstacle in your life that you've never conquered before, and you're saying, God, I thought you were with me in this. I thought you were going to help me in this. And you're looking at God, and you're throwing a tantrum because life has gotten just a little bit tougher. It requires just a little bit more faith. But the reality is that the removal of the training wheels was his seal of confidence in me that you can do it. And you might be facing a harder season in your life today, but don't confuse that with God's judgment. I need you this morning to see it as God's seal of approval, God's seal of confidence in you. He believes that you can overcome. Listen, your faith will never grow in comfortability. Your faith will never grow unless it faces adversity and obstacles and difficulty. Your faith will never thrive in 75 and sunny. It takes opposition. It takes difficulty. It takes an increase of complexity for your faith to grow. And the situation that you're in right now, you need to stop blaming God and getting frustrated with God and throwing a tantrum and just understand that when he takes off the wheels and life gets just a little bit tougher, it's not his judgment. It's the sign that he believes that you are more than a conqueror and you are more than able to endure this present storm and this present circumstance. If you're thankful, you ought to give him praise that, Lord, you are with me no matter what. And even if it gets a little bit harder, I can rest assured that you are with me. Deuteronomy 31, I love this. It says, Moses says to Joshua, he says, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. How many of you have ever been afraid in your life and somebody said those words to you and it just annoyed you like crazy? I remember growing up in West Virginia, there was this state park called Odra, and you would jump off these big rocks into this like little area and you had to land just perfect. And I remember like all my friends jumping off the rock, but then when I got up there, I was like, oh, I don't know about that, because you add 7 feet onto whatever else it is. So anyway, that's my excuse. And I would look at it and my friends would just be like, don't be afraid. And I'd be like, Joker, please, you're telling me to not be afraid? When somebody tells you not to be afraid, the natural instinct is to start listing off the reasons of why you should be afraid. Well, actually, if you understood, this is about 20 feet down, and if I slip a little bit, it's annoying when people tell you, don't be afraid. But I'm going to tell you something. Moses saw something here that was remarkably powerful. Joshua had every right to be afraid. What he was seeing with his own eyes gave him every right in the world to be afraid, to be fearful. As he looked across into the promised land, he saw a land that was inhabited by giants, men who were stronger, who were greater warriors, whose weapons were so much greater. He looked across and the spies saw the city of Jericho, whose walls were unscalable. He saw something that struck fear into his heart. The reports that he got back were fearful. What he heard and what he saw about what was ahead of him, he had every right to be afraid. Moses was on his deathbed. Moses was about to die. And leave him alone to lead 1.2 million people into the promise that God had given their ancestors. Joshua had a right to be afraid. The Jordan River was overflowing. It was the harvest season. And the water was 10 feet higher than it had normally been. Joshua had a reason in the physical to be afraid. Yet the Holy Spirit of God, in spite of all of those realities, speaks something a little bit annoying into his spirit. And he says, Joshua, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. I know that sounds really easy to say, but I want you to look at this really closely. If the Holy Spirit of God speaks into your life today, no matter what you're facing, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. He cannot command you. He is a just God, and he will not command you to do something that is impossible for you to do. The fact that he spoke that into Joshua's life is the evidence that fear and discouragement is a state of mind. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's all in your head. Tell him like you mean it. It's all in your head. Now, that's probably even more annoying. You don't like hearing that. How many of you have ever had God speak to you in a moment of distress and what he says annoys you a little bit? It rattles you a little bit. It's not what you want to hear. Can I get a witness? Definitely been me. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And a sound mind, he says. Because fear and discouragement takes place in your mind. The battle for your freedom, the battle for your confidence, it doesn't happen externally in the world around you. Joshua's courage would not come from what he could see with his physical eye. It came from what he had decided in his mind, that if the Lord is with me, if the Lord says, do not be afraid, then no matter what I see with my eyes, I will stand confidently and I will stand boldly and I will not shrink back. I will not be afraid. I will make up my mind that I will trust in the Lord and the power of his might, and I will overcome every obstacle in every season that faces me in my life. This morning, I need you to understand, and the Holy Spirit sent me here to give you a simple message today, that it is in your mind. The fear and the discouragement and the depression that you wrestle with, it's in your mind. And here's the proof of it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, when it says, he's not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. When he says sound mind, the Greek word that is originally used here is sophronesimos, is the word. Y'all should be thankful that I got that out the first time. And that word, in its purest definition, means mental self-control. That word means mental self-control, meaning that the fear that is gripping your life, the fear that is holding you captive, it's in your mind. That discouragement that you're wrestling with, it's in your mind. The battle for your freedom takes place in your mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ." The Bible is teaching you that you have power over your fears. You have power over the discouragement that you're facing in your present circumstance. And the power is in your mind. You keep looking at your circumstance and waiting for something to change there in order to give you a boost of confidence. But your confidence will not come from what you see. It will come from His Spirit within. And it will come from making up your mind that you are not of them who draw back, and He is with you always, one step ahead of you. He is. Heaven is a step ahead of you. The problem is that many of us, when we find ourselves in financial uncertainty, or when we find ourselves in a relationship that is turbulent, we tend to focus on our fears. We tend to focus on the negativity. We tend to focus on the problem. And the things that we focus on become amplified. The things that we focus on become magnified. And you can't always take control of what's happening around you, but you can certainly, according to Scripture, take place with what's happening within you. And this morning, I don't know about you, but I want to be a person who magnifies what the Lord is doing in my life. I want to focus not on my fear, not on my problem. I want to focus on the fact that He is with me. He didn't send some angel. He's with me Himself. I want to focus on Him in the presence of my enemies. If you have your Bible, look with me really quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And this is a message from the Lord. I've preached this point before in a whole sermon, but I'm just going to give it to you in a real quick point. What the Scripture is telling you in Deuteronomy 31 is that you have been given dominion over your mind. You've been given authority over your mind. You have more power than you think you have. And the Word of God is clear that you and I can overcome fear, and we can overcome discouragement in our life. We can do it. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, I want to read you this powerful text. This comes at a time when King David is at the lowest point, probably in his existence. This is a moment where everything in his life has gone contrary to his plan. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That's all I want to read to you right there. This text, 1 Samuel 30, takes place upon the ashes of Ziklag. Ziklag is an ugly name, but it's the name of a city, a name of a village where David and his men had camped out. And his military had left Ziklag to go on a military mission. And when they came back to Ziklag, they saw smoke billowing from where their families used to dwell. And their wives were gone, and their daughters were missing, and their sons were gone. And all of their possessions, all of the things that were familiar, were up in smoke and had been robbed and stolen. And so the men turn on David and they say to him, "We're going to stone you. We're going to kill you. If it weren't for you, none of this would have been lost. We would still have our family if not for you, David." And in the moment where it seemed like there was no way out, where fear was gripping David's life and discouragement had gripped him at an all-time low, the Bible says David didn't sit around throwing a tantrum, crying around to God, complaining about his problems. The Bible doesn't say that David focused and amplified his fears. The Bible didn't say that David wallowed around in his negativity, saying it'll never get any better than it is right now. You might as well stone me. Everything's up. Instead, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. It started in his mind. He made up his mind that fear and discouragement and depression was not going to dictate the direction of his life in that moment when nobody else was there to encourage him and nobody else was there to lift him up. He encouraged himself in the Lord. And I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but maybe you're facing some situations in your life right now that you don't see any way out. Maybe you're in a moment right now where you don't see any answer to the problem that you're facing, and fear and discouragement and depression has surrounded your life. And every way you look, you see more problems and more despair. And you're at a low point this morning and you're asking yourself, "God, are you still there? Are you with me? Won't you be faithful to what you promised?" And I want you to know this morning that right from the ashes of Ziklag, we must encourage ourselves in the Lord and make up our mind today that fear will not dictate the direction of my life. My problems will not dictate the direction of my life. I will encourage myself in the Lord my God, for he is with me and he is surely mighty to save and deliver me. But you might be saying, "Well, how in the world do I encourage myself in the Lord? How do I find joy in a desperate place? How do I find hope in a hopeless situation?" Well, according to Psalms, we know the answer to this. The Bible says that David began to focus on his God. He began to focus on the Lord, his God. He said, "You are my light and you are my salvation. You are my fortress. You are where my strength comes from." He began to worship. He made Christ, he made God Almighty the focus of his life. And as he began to magnify and amplify his Savior, he began to find strength. He began to draw from joy. He began to draw from the wells of hope that didn't make any sense. And from that place of encouraging himself by focusing on Jesus, he got up and pursued his enemies. And he tracked them down. And God restored back to David everything that was stolen, everything that was lost. But in your life this morning, the Bible's clear. It's not a matter of if bad times come. It's not a matter of if difficult times face your life. It's a matter of when. But when they find you, how will you respond? Will you focus and fixate on the problems, meditating and dwelling and rumbling around in your fear? Or will you instead lift your eyes to the hills, to where your help comes from, and focus on your God who is surely able to save and deliver? Because whatever you focus on will be magnified and amplified in your life. Back to Deuteronomy 31:8. "Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you and he will never fail you or abandon you." The Lord himself is one step ahead of where you are right now. in your presence. Now, look, I know this sounds preachy, but I just need to get through to somebody this morning. I need to talk to somebody for real, heart to heart this morning. I don't know what you're facing in your life, but heaven sent me here today to tell you that heaven is one step ahead of your enemy. Heaven is one step ahead of your problem. Heaven is one step ahead of where you are right now. And although you don't see a way out, and although you don't see things working themselves out, heaven wants you to know today that it is one step ahead of you. Deuteronomy 31:8, God said, I am ahead of you. I go before you, and I make a way where there seems to be no other way. I want you to think about this. In Scripture, the Lord was with Abraham. In Genesis 22, God was one step ahead of Abraham when Abraham took his son Isaac up to the mountain to sacrifice him. The Bible says that Abraham had laid Isaac and tied him up on the altar, and he had lifted that knife up above him to sacrifice the life of his only son. And look, he beheld right above the horizon. The Bible says there was a ram caught up in the thistles, caught in the bush with his own horns. And surely the Lord provided. Listen, I'm going to tell you, the Lord was a step ahead of Abraham in that moment. Abraham was at a critical crossroads in his life where he looked like there was no hope, but just on the horizon, God was one step ahead of him. And when all hope seemed lost, God had a plan that he had been orchestrating behind the scenes the entire time for his good, for Abraham to prosper, for Abraham to be blessed, and for the glory of God to be revealed in his life. This morning, I need you to know, it might seem hopeless right now, and you might seem discouraged right now, but I'm telling you right now, heaven is at work in the unseen realms of your life. In the behind the scenes area, God is already a step ahead of you, and he's already working your good through the current situation and the current struggle that you find yourself in. That is awesome. That is an awesome promise in the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that he's a step ahead of me. I'm thankful that when my money runs out and my bills keep coming, I'm thankful that he's one step ahead of me. He's one step ahead. He's making a way for me where there seemed to be no other way. I'm thankful that my God is not dormant and locked up in the chasms of history, but he is aware and involved in the endeavors of men. Not only was God a step ahead of Abraham, but he was a step ahead of Jonah too. When Jonah was straight up disrespectful and irreverent and said, I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm not going to speak to those jokers. I don't even like them. And so he jumps on a ship to head the other way, and a storm comes. And along with the storm, God was one step ahead of him, and you know the story. There was a big old fish right there ready to swallow him up and bring him back to the promise and the purpose that God had planned for his life. And I don't know about you, but I know Jonah is thankful that God is one step ahead of him. Otherwise, he'd be drowned and locked up at the bottom of the sea. Thank God that he is one step ahead of us. He's one step ahead of you this morning. And I don't know who needs to hear that today, but somebody, I'm telling you, you need to know that he is working for your good in the unseen areas of your life. Our God orchestrates the theater of earth. He orchestrates the theater of earth for your good. Romans 8:28, very familiar passage. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. For God knew his people in advance, he was a step ahead, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. I want to tell you a story really quickly, a story that I don't tell very often. In 2008, I moved to Charlotte from Louisiana after Bible college. I was about 21 years old. Don't do the math. Yes, I'm getting to the big 3-0. Anyway, when I moved to Charlotte, I was 21 years old, and I was anxious. I had a vision in my heart. In Bible college, I knew I was called to plant Vision Church with a Z in it. Yeah, even then I knew. And when I came to Charlotte, I was anxious. When I came to Charlotte, I was in a hurry. And I tried to plan it. I tried to start at 21 years old. No building, no people, no relationships, nothing. I was brand new. 21 years old, and I tried to assemble a core group of people to start this church. And I tried for about 3 or 4 months, and we started to have a few steps forward and then like 5 steps back. Anybody relate in your life? You take 2 steps forward or 1 step forward and 3 back. And I got discouraged, and it wasn't working out. And the people who were there said, this just must not be the right time. And I remember that after trying, after stepping out, I remember feeling so discouraged. And I remember feeling like such a failure. It was really probably one of the lowest points in my life. And less than a year later, a pastor friend of mine came to me and he said, hey, I know things didn't work out when you first tried, but have you ever considered doing college ministry? Have you ever considered just doing a college small group, life group, and seeing what that leads to? And he told me a story. He said, well, there's a church in D.C. that started with a Bible college ministry, and then it grew, and they planted a church. And he said, who knows, Tyson, maybe that's the direction for your life. And I remember when I first heard that, I was like, no, college ministry? No, I'm not going to do that. No, I don't want to do that. I'm supposed to be a church planter. And little did I know that in even my failures, God would orchestrate it for my good. And he would cross my path with people who would put this insight and deposit direction into my life in just the right season. And lo and behold, I listened to that guy's advice, and I started a college ministry with three. We started a Bible study in 2009. And I was a little discouraged, but little did I know that that redirection, that detour in my plan, God was already 1 step ahead of me. He had already prepared the hearts of the students. He'd already prepared the hearts of the people. He had already opened up the doors for the campus. And that ministry, you know, many of you came from it. It started with 3 people, and it grew to reaching hundreds and hundreds of college students every week in a matter of a few short years. God was in that, but he was a step ahead of me. And when I felt like I was lost, and I felt like I had made too many mistakes, and I felt like I'd messed everything up, he was still working behind the scenes for my good. He was still orchestrating his plan in my life. And God has an awesome way of taking our failures and turning them into his promise. And today's 2016. And you're sitting in a church right now called Vision Church. And it may not be perfect, and it's far from what we want it to be, but it's far from what it used to be. And we are standing in the promise of the Lord God Almighty. You're standing in it. I could talk to you for days. I won't, but I could talk to you for days about how the Lord was 1 step ahead of me all the while. If many of you remember a little thing called Axiom that we did about a couple months ago. And we set out to raise $50,000. And as we got closer and closer in the weeks to that date coming to fruition, we were looking at our bank account and saying, Lord, we need an intervention because this is not going to happen. And out of nowhere, somebody who doesn't even go to this church sent a very large donation to this church. Completely out of the blue, completely out of nowhere. I don't even know how all that familiar with Axiom they were. They just sent it. And they told me, they said, Tyson, we've been up here in our new city looking for a church for months. We haven't found one. But we've been saving up our tithe and our giving. We've been saving it up for months. And the Lord told me last week to give it then to Vision Church. Meaning that 4 months before I even knew I had a need, he was providing. He had started saving to meet a need I didn't even know about. I think he's more than 1 step ahead, but I'll tell you one thing, he's ahead of you. He goes before you, and he's orchestrating your good before you're even aware of your present need. You serve a God who is great, a God who is greatly to be praised. And I'm not telling you your life will always be easy, but I'm telling you you'll always have an advocate in the storm. You'll always have a God who's looking out ahead of you. You'll always have a Father who's providing and orchestrating and working for your good behind the scenes when you can't see it with your own eyes. Last Sunday, I'll give you another one just to show you how awesome your God is. Last Sunday, after I preached this message last Sunday, I left feeling discouraged. I left feeling depressed. Maybe this is a little too vulnerable. You're not used to pastors opening up like that. Well, you get used to it. I left discouraged. And I got in the car and I was talking to Alex and I was like, I don't even know if this is helping anybody. I don't even know if my life is making a difference. My expectations aren't being met in my own life, and I just don't know if it's making a difference. And it was a real moment for me. I have them sometimes, believe it or not. And as I was about to leave, somebody came up to me, and she handed me a note, a handwritten note, and she was like, Pastor Tyson, I just want to give you this. Hope you're doing great. I'll see you later. And she hands me a note. And I open it up and I unfold it. And it begins by saying, I just want to say, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it with me. And she said, I just want to say thank you for being obedient to the Holy Spirit, because what you preached on today was exactly what I needed in my life. And I'm thankful that the Lord will use you. I'm thankful that the Lord will bless my life through you, and be encouraged. Now, I don't know about you, and she told me later that she was writing that note while I was preaching the sermon. She was writing the note before I even felt the emotions. She was writing it before I even felt the discouragement. God was one step ahead of me. He was already preparing to encourage me, to edify me, to build me up in Him before I even felt the storm that I was about to face. And that might not seem like that earth-shattering to you, but I'm going to tell you, when you're at a moment of crisis, when you're at a moment of discouragement, I'm telling you, and He shows up, I'll tell you what, it builds your faith like nothing else ever will. And I just need somebody to know today that this God that we are talking about, He is surely alive, and He is surely concerned with the affairs of your life, and He is working out your good even before you face your circumstances. As the band comes back to help me close, I want to remind you of one more powerful thing found in Revelation chapter 13. In life, and we've been talking about this here in the past few weeks, in life, the Bible says that His word is a lamp to our feet. It's a guide to our path, but that lamp doesn't show us 300 yards down the path. It just shows us just enough to take the next step. And it can be scary sometimes in life. It can be uncertain sometimes in your life. And fear can overwhelm you. And discouragement can creep up in your life, even if you seem like the most confident of people. But this morning's message should give you peace and rest, knowing that even when you can't see beyond the light, He's already there. He's already ahead of you. He's already making a way where there seems to be no other way. And where He leads you, He will always be faithful. He will always provide your every need. You serve a God who loves you more than you could ever imagine and comprehend. He's ahead of your enemies. He's ahead of your storms. He's ahead of your trials. Revelation chapter 13 tells us one more beautiful thing about the character of our God. It says that He is, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundations of the world. Meaning that God had already established His pattern for redemption before sin had ever left its mark on creation. God was one step ahead of Lucifer. He's one step ahead of darkness. He's one step ahead of your iniquity. He's one step ahead of your pain. He's one step ahead of the present troubles that you're facing in your life today. To you and I this morning, we should rejoice and we should delight and be glad, knowing that from the foundations of the world, He had already planned and orchestrated our ultimate good. He had already planned and orchestrated a way of salvation, a way of redemption, a way where we would find hope and life and encouragement. We serve a God who's not responsive. He's not reactive to the circumstances of your world. He's ahead of them. And in that, we must delight and be confident. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for the power of your word. Thank you, Father, that you are one step ahead of us. No matter what we're facing in our life, whether it's marital uncertainty, whether it's financial strain, whether it's pressure about our career and our future, we'll delight this morning knowing that you are already ahead of us. And even before we were aware of our problems, you were working our good to fruition. And Lord, we love you and we thank you and we bless the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Why don't you stand to your feet all over this place? This morning, these altars are open. The prayer corner is available in the back. If you've not made things right with Jesus, if you're not right with Him today, I want to encourage you. He's one step ahead of you. He's ready to meet you right where you are. You say, well, I'll make things right with God someday. My life is a mess right now. Well, then you're a perfect candidate to experience His presence and His grace. He's already one step ahead of you. Come and receive Him right where you are this morning. Let's worship in Jesus' name.